PowerPoint will present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have my full binder with me, but I assume the addendum to the TMGC report is in our binder. Tab number two. You will recall at the last meeting, the TMGC reported, we reported the TMGC results, and the council asked that two of the TMGC recommendations be remanded to the TMGC for further consideration. And those are contained in the addendum. In the addendum, they talk about Eastern Georges Bank Cod and then Yellowtail. I'm going to reverse the order because the Yellowtail should be fairly easy. The Transboundary Monitoring Guidance Committee met by conference call on the 24th of October, and we came up with the following recommendations. The council remanded the Yellowtail flounder quota because it was not consistent with the rebuilding program adopted by the New England Council. You will recall we had proposed a 1,500 metric ton quota, and the quota consistent with the rebuilding schedule was 1,250 metric tons. It's under tab three, number six. Thank you, John. Do folks have that before them? No, I'm glad for the clarification. Thank you. So the resolution on the part of the TMGC that the TMGC concluded the appropriate combined U.S.-Canada TAC for the 2007 fishing year should be 1,250 metric tons. This represents a neutral risk of exceeding the FRF of 0.25, and it would result in a U.S. Well, the U.S. share is 72%, the Canada share is 28%. It would result in a U.S. quota or TAC of 900 metric tons and 350 metric tons for Canada. Are there questions about that? I guess seeing none, I would make a motion that the council approve the TMGC recommendation of a quota of yellowtail flounder for the U.S.-Canada sharing area of 1,250 metric tons, with a U.S. share of 72% or 900 metric tons and a 28% share for Canada of 350 metric tons.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rip. Any discussion? Dr. Pierce.
I'm curious, George, why did the Canadians, why did the TMGC, the Canadian counterparts anyways, give in so easily?
Because this was our baby, and we had argued for the – I had argued, and our folks argued for a higher quota. They were willing to accept whatever number we came along with pretty much. So it was quite easy in that regard. Karen, the 72% is 900 metric tons. And then a Canadian share of 28% or 350 metric tons.
And that was seconded by Rip Cunningham. Okay, everybody sees the motion on the board? I'm going to call the question. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Twelve opposed. One opposed. Two opposed. No abstentions. Okay, the motion carries 12-2. George, you're on a roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Jim, did you want to comment on that? Jim Kendall.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Kendall, New Bedford Seafood Consulting. I'm sorry, I must have missed something. I thought one of the decisions of the council at the last meeting, which I wasn't able to attend, remanded this back to the TMGC because of the question of whether to adopt the 1,250 metric ton or the Canadian recommendation of a total TAC of 1,500 metric ton. Am I wrong in that understanding?
What we did, Jim, was at the TMGC meeting in early September, the TMGC had adopted a recommendation of 1,500 metric tons.
Right.
I brought that to the council at the September meeting, and the council asked that it be remanded to the TMGC because it was not consistent with meeting the rebuilding target of our groundfish plan. And so I went back to the TMGC, and there was concurrence by the U.S. and Canadian members to have a yellowtail flounder tack for this area of 1,250 metric tons.
Well, and thank you for that, George. I got to admit that or state that I'm a little bothered that that didn't come to the forefront prior to the motion, because I wasn't of that understanding that it had been adopted and the 1,250 metric ton had been accepted by both countries. I hadn't heard that that was the accepted TAC. Did I miss that discussion, is what I'm asking? I did.
I went through that in the beginning of the discussion, talking about it coming to the September Council meeting and it being accepted by the TMGC and being remanded by this council back to the TMGC.
All right. Goes to prove I can't take notes and listen at the same time. But all right. Thank you, then. While I am at the mic, I would like to express a lot of concern in the Port of New Bedford, at least, that the 1,500 metric ton wasn't adopted, and for various reasons, and you all know them probably better than I do. Like I said, I missed the last discussion that you had, but there seemed to be an awful lot of concern about the, I don't want to say the validity, but the surety of certain numbers versus another set of numbers, the way they came up and they were so quickly reduced. Yellowtail is not a big issue for the Canadian fishermen. Unless it's really increased a lot as far as their directed fishery, there was virtually no fishery in the Canadian fishery when we began the TMGC discussions. At that time, the scallop fleet for the Canadians had a zero bycatch. They didn't admit to any bycatch of the yellowtail. And from what I understand, last year, virtually most of their landings or their catch towards the TAC was by their scallop fishery, and it's still, from my understanding, is that it's very poorly monitored, and we have no real understanding of what they are doing as far as catch on the yellowtail is by catch.
Thanks, Jim. George, you...
It looked like I caught George by surprise, so that's what...
You were looking at me, so I was wondering if you had asked me a question, and I might have missed it because I was taking notes.
You know what? The two of you need to learn to communicate better.
Pardon me?
The two of you need to learn to communicate better.
Possibly.
George, back to you.
I'm not taking any more notes, Mr. Chairman. The other issue was on Eastern Georgia's Bank Cod. The TMGC had concluded the most appropriate combined tack for the 2007 fishing year was 1,900 metric tons. We discussed this at the last meeting. And there was an issue that was, it was remanded back to the TMGC because of the overage in the 2005 Canadian harvest. And we discussed this again at the 24th of October TMGC conference call. And on reconsideration, the TAC came back with the same recommendation that we do use 1,900 metric tons and that the landings, a deduction wasn't required for 2005. And I want to elaborate on that. The number that we used at the last meeting was 200 metric tons, and that may have been my mistake in doing that. In the discussion, at the TMGC meeting, the estimated discards was 114 metric tons, not the 200 metric tons previously reported. This resulted from discards in other fisheries, as has been reported. And importantly, the Georges Bank Cod stock assessment in 2004 did not include include discards. As this says, the 2004 assessment didn't include discards, and while the Canadian catch exceeded the 2005, the total catch exceeded the TAC. The landings did not exceed the allocation, again, because the discards wasn't included in the assessment. Procedurally, until recently, DFO didn't have a process in place to accurately monitor the discards, which are illegal there because they're not supposed to discard, which we should pay attention to if we use no discard in our fisheries, and on a real-time basis. Sorry that for that editorial comment. Or they didn't have a mechanism of deducting from a particular fishery once the TAC had been set because the TAC was allocated to individual participants under their ITQ system. We are confident now, and we actually have an intersessional to make sure that there's a process in place so that this won't occur again, as happened in 2005. And just one more editorial comment. We have had times when it's been tough to meet our targets as well, and I think this was a time when they found their targets were tough to meet as well, and I'm confident that we've improved the system so that, in fact, we won't get into the situation again. And so I would, I would make the same recommendation that we had last year, or last meeting, rather, that the most appropriate or move a combined U.S.-Canada TAC for each Eastern Georges Bank cod of 1,900 metric tons for the 2007 fishing year. Of this, the U.S. share, rather, is 26%, which would give us a TAC of 494 metric tons. The Canadian share is 74%, and it would give them a TAC of 1,406 metric tons.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rip Cunningham. Discussion? Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, first of all, we have a letter in a binder from Pat Kirkle to Paul Howard regarding the 200 metric ton TAC overage, and Pat is quite clear in her letter to Paul that, indeed, there was no agreement between her and Neil Belafontaine to forgive the Canadian overage of Georges Bank cod, and she very emphatically makes the point that she's seeking to have that overage deducted appropriately according to the understanding from the Canadian 2007 share, I believe. So my question would be, with the motion being worded the way it is, if the Canadians do indeed do what they're supposed to do, take the 200 metric tons off, how do these numbers change? In other words, if we vote this through, are we forgiving the Canadians for their 200 metric ton overage? I want to make sure that does not happen, because that was never the intent, as we all know. They're supposed to take that 200 metric ton overage off, or 114, if indeed that's the revised number. So I'd appreciate it if, Mr. Chairman, if Pat could kind of click, make sure I've stated correctly what's in her letter. And also, am I correct that if this passes, we're forgiving the Canadians their 200 metric tons?
Yeah. Not 200 tons, 114 tons at this point. But we thought it was 200 when I wrote the letter. The main thing that I wanted to clear up in the letter was that there was no agreement. That my concern was it had been reported that somehow Neil and I, outside the TMG process, the council process, the DFO process, had come to some agreement to forgive this 200 tons, and that was just not the case. So that was the primary reason for the letter. The 1,900 tons doesn't change to address the 114 metric tons. What the TMGC is recommending is that because discards were not included in the assessment last year, that for this year anyway, that the 114 wouldn't be appropriate to deduct the discard estimate from the for the TAC for next year. And I personally am pleased that the TMGC talked not only about making sure that there's better alignment between the assessment and the estimates for the TAC, but also that the Canadians are looking a lot more seriously at their monitoring programs for the discards. So I think the TMGC, got some important agreements at this last conference call.
I'm not sure what those agreements. Well, Pat, are you saying, therefore, that the Canadians do not have to take the 114 metric tons off the top of the 2007 quota because of some misunderstanding that happened a year ago or so regarding whether discards count or not? In other words, does your letter, your position now that apparently has come about because of the TMGC discussions, does that render your letter moot?
Yes, I'm agreeing that the 114 metric tons, that for the reasons that the TMGC discussed, that it's not necessary to take the 114 metric tons off the proposed 1900 metric ton quota, or actually the Canadians' portion of the 1900 metric ton quota. I don't think it renders my letter moot because, as I said, the point of the letter was to make clear that there wasn't an understanding and to clarify the fact that there wasn't an agreement, and to clarify the fact that the understanding does require both the assessment and the quota setting process to consider discards so that overages can be deducted in the subsequent years.
Anyone else? Okay. Jim.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Jim Kendall, New Bedford Seafood Consulting. One of the reasons that I'm feeling somewhat compelled to comment on this is that I was one of the original members of the TMGC. And I really don't see it going in the direction that I thought we had moved towards. Unfortunately, neither David Borden or Barbara Stevenson, who were two of the other principal members of that committee, are here to comment on this. But there's a couple of things that come to mind here, and I'm sorry, I respectfully disagree that we should be forgiving Canada either the 200 that was first thought, which was even a more grievous sin, or the 114 as it currently stands. It's my understanding Canada doesn't have discards. They don't have bycatch. They're not allowed to discard it. They're using a smaller net than we are, which is already complicating the whole issue out there. And they said, well, it's not a problem because we keep all our fish. I mean, Barbara Stevenson really hammered those people on that. And she told them, you guys are using a smaller net. You're taking more advantage of the resource than we are. And they said, well, Barbara, but we don't throw our fish away. So it's no different than what you catch, the small ones. You just happen to discard yours. We keep ours. So it's not a mistake that if they weren't, and if this 114 metric ton, or whatever the amount is there, and it exists as a bycatch. First of all, that's illegal. And secondly, if it's illegal, they didn't even report it to us because they didn't want it subtracted from their future allocation. Now, my understanding was that any overages were to be dealt with in the coming year. And the same thing would happen. There was some discussion about if you didn't take your full resource that particular year, there'd be some way to deal with it. That was less obvious as how they were going to deal with it. But the fact of the matter was is that overages were meant to be dealt with. Now, I'm sorry that they don't have any way of doing it. My suggestion would be easy. Cut their damn TAC and let them deal out whatever chips they have when that year comes around. That's what we would do. That's the reason we entered into this agreement, is because Canada took the first whack at the pie. And we felt that we had to get in there and have an arrangement with them so they didn't take so much that when we went in there, we were constrained by the SSA. The Sustainable Fisheries Act, I should say. Because if Canada decided to take two-thirds, there'd only be a third left. If they decided to take three-quarters, there'd only be one quarter left for us to go. And I don't think I'm incorrect in these assumptions. Coming back to the yellowtail issue, once again, I believe that most of that was taken by their scallop fleet. Their scallop fleet at one time used a 10-inch twine top. That was some of the genesis for my recommending during my time on the council that we consider expanding our twine tops to avoid bycatch. And now what are they down to? I believe they're back down to 5.5. And if they're using 5.5-inch twine tops on George's Bank, what do you think they're doing to the yellowtail there? Something has to come down and come down hard. I understand how those negotiations are tough to work, but if we can't do it through negotiations and if we can't do it through the current arrangement, something needs to be done. Now, I hate to say it needs to be done through a State Department because that was the intent to avoid at all costs. But those costs are currently being borne by the New England Fishery Management Council and the New England fishermen, and we can't continue to bear those costs. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to be clearer here because there's clearly still some misunderstanding. It's not accurate to say that we're forgiving the 114 metric tons. If discards had been included in the assessment for last year, then the 1,900 metric tons would have been higher. And the opinion of the scientist is that basically we end up at the same place. So it originates with the problem of not including the discards in the assessment. So first we need to correct that problem. Then it makes sense to deduct the discards or deduct any overages as a result of discards. So the 1,900 tons would change, in fact, if discards had been included.
But am I correct, Pat, when I made the statement that Canada does really not accept discards? They don't account for them because they don't exist?
No, they count their discards, and they were, George could speak to this issue, but it was discussed at the first TMGC meeting, this issue of discards. They do have observer coverage, and they do count their discards.
I thought they had mandatory retention. If you have mandatory retention, how do you get discards?
George, you want to weigh in on this?
I do a little bit. First of all, the 114 metric tons is an estimate that they didn't have before because they were, my understanding is, coming up with methods of estimating it. They by law, they don't have discards because they have full retention, but their system's no different than ours. Sometimes people follow the rules and sometimes they don't. And we all know that happens. And so what they did, to their credit, was they came up with an estimate of the discards and built it into the system so they could account for it. Is it perfect? No. But they do have a method of estimating it now so that, in fact, it gets taken care of biologically first through the assessment and then secondarily through, the combined TAC and their share.
Another issue to point out is that they didn't have a level of observer coverage on that fleet in a given year. And then they went and did put observer coverage on that fleet, and that's where they've cranked out these assumptions.
Well,
you've got to understand, they didn't, whether they realized or didn't realize they had a problem in the scallop fishery, they hadn't allocated any yellowtail or other fin fish that are part of this agreement to that fishery.
That's right.
As a result of not having coverage and not having reports.
Well,
those were the issues we hammered on this last time around was, okay, what happens next time when your crab fishery develops a bycatch problem and another, one of the species that are part of the agreement? We went through a whole list of different fisheries. We think we have a system hammered out that's going to deal with these issues.
Well, once again, Mr. Chairman, I've got to come back to the issue is that they mandate 100% retention. Now they're coming up and saying, all right, well, we're not all saints, but we figure we had maybe 114 metric ton of discards. Do we have any sense of what they were discarding? If it's whatever species it is, whatever animal they're talking about, in this case codfish, what are they discarding? Small codfish? If that's the case, where is the argument for them to retain continue using small mesh net when we're using 6-inch and larger net. I mean, at some point in time, I understand how they negotiate and I understand how they come in and how they work. But at some point in time, we're going to have to hold their feet to the fire. Like I said before, American fishermen cannot be the ones constantly paying the price to placate the Canadian fishermen and this particular agreement. It's falling down. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. I continually get asked, you know, how the hell could you do this to us when you were on that committee? You know, and seemingly so. But the fact of the matter is we didn't have this type of problem then because we didn't accept that excuse. Maybe we didn't have to at that time. It's unfortunate we got it now. But we shouldn't be walking away from this, throwing our hands up and saying, well, we know you're doing the best you can, because our guys are doing the best they can too. And I think we need to really be a little less forgiving. A little less forgiving on this issue with the Canadians. I'm sorry. I know it's a tough issue, but it comes back to what these guys get in the end. Thank you. And thanks for bearing with me on this.
Phil and then George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the point, I mean, Pat made the big issue there was the assessment. The discards weren't observed the year before. It wasn't in the assessment. Didn't have observed it. It wasn't counted in, so they argued that you can't deduct me for something you didn't count, give me credit for, basically. But to the other issue that keeps coming up of whether you should go back to the State Department with this and to the industry, all I can say is last time we did, we got the Hague line.
George.
Tom reminded me of the fact that the discards come from two sources. One is the groundfish fleet, and discarding is illegal in the groundfish fishery. They need full retention. The other source is I believe, the scallop fishery, and full retention is not required there. They're prohibited from landing groundfish, so they have regulatory discards just like we have. So it's not, as black and white of an issue as has been portrayed.
I am going to call a question. All those in favor of the motion on the board, please raise your hand. Opposed? 13-1. Any abstentions? Nope. Motion carries 13-1. George?
Just a couple final comments. This is a process that has changed and improved through time, and we do need to watch and make sure that, in fact, this system works better for us and better for the Canadians as we move forward. So that's the reason we're having the intersessional on the discard issue to make sure that, in fact, it doesn't happen again. And then the other thing is just a final note on yellowtail flounder, and I mentioned it last time. If the trends continue in yellowtail flounder abundance on the eastern part of Georgia's, we're going to have a very serious issue with yellowtail flounder bycatch in both the groundfish fishery and the scallop fishery that will be of huge proportions compared to the impact that this low quota has had in the last couple of years. And I want to keep that on people's radar screen, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Okay, and that's it for TMGC. David?
Yeah. I appreciate the document that's behind, I think it's tab number one, it's number two. It's basically the entire genesis of the TMGC. And what I'd like to know is, I read the entire thing, unfortunately the numbers aren't consistently and coherently numbered, but there's one that says enclosure number five at the bottom. At the top it says TMGC Overview Introduction, and on the page after that, which doesn't have a page number, there's a list of terms of reference for the TMGC. And my specific question is, there's five terms of reference, and the fifth one is to make other recommendations that are mutually beneficial to the U.S. and Canadian fisheries. And I'd like to know if anybody has ever done anything other than set quotas. Has anybody ever made any other recommendations? And if they haven't, what is the procedure for getting our negotiators to perhaps make other recommendations at these meetings?
Other recommendations have been made. There was an issue that came up a number of years ago about looking at, it was reported on in September, the difference in the mesh size on the two sides and what impact that had on the stock. And the conclusion was it didn't have much of an impact. And so there are other recommendations that come forward. I would so we have, when we needed to, or when it's been requested, use terms of reference number 5. And if council members have ideas about other issues that they think the council members, the U.S. council members who are representatives on the TMGC, if there are issues you want bring forward, I would welcome those.
Okay, well, I would like to make the suggestion that that specifically be discussed, and with the idea of perhaps coming up with a common mesh size for Georges Bank, so that we don't have the situation we have at the moment with two different regimes operating on two sides of a line that can't be seen by the fish. I think the time has come to have that discussion. You know, there are certain points to the Canadian system that I think are advantageous. There are certain points to the American system that I think are advantageous. But I think a lot of the dispute and a lot of the anger that we've heard at the microphone in the last two council meetings is over the fact that we have unequal access to a certain size fish, and that if we had a common mesh size, that unequal access would disappear. So I would like to, you know, at least raise that issue and make it as a suggestion to our TMGC members that they think about having a discussion along those lines. Thank you.
Just in response to that, Mr. Chairman, wouldn't it be most appropriate for the Groundfish Committee to discuss what other terms of reference the Transboundary Monitoring Guidance Committee should recommend? It strikes me that would be more procedural, but so there's some way of vetting the ideas that we might bring forward.
Yeah, one of the changes that the Executive Committee recommended to the Council when we discussed priorities, we also talked about the role and operational style of the TMGC, and one of the recommendations is to have a meeting of the TMGC either jointly or alone with the public, a public meeting, before the negotiations start. Sometime in, I guess, July was mentioned as an appropriate time. That's when the data is available, but it's prior to making the quota negotiations. That would be an appropriate time to talk about other recommendations. There are other issues that we've talked about at the TMGC as well. One of them is the timing of openings on each respective side. If you remember, the Canadians had areas closed because of spawning, I think December, January, February, something along those lines. And the industry and the DFO notified us prior to doing it at the TMGC meeting a couple years ago that they were going to allow a pilot study with a spawning percentage trigger that would stop the fishery if they ever reached a certain level. So there was that issue. At this most recent meeting, we did talk about the twine tops and the scallop fishery on the Canadian line. I did point to that as possibly one of the reasons they're having problems with yellowtail bycatch in their fishery. We suggested that on our side of the line, we do use a larger mesh. We did go to that to get away from the bycatch of yellowtail. So there is an exchange of those kinds of ideas. But I think if what you're talking about is coming up with a standardization across both sides, then you need to understand that we're going to win and we're going to lose on that discussion. And that sort of the spirit of what we're trying to do is make sure that our impacts on the resource are consistent and measurable, not necessarily how we make our own internal decisions as a nation on our side and as a nation on their side, but rather that we have a good handle on the impacts. Pat?
Yeah, just a couple of things to add to that, and that's part of what I wanted to point out. First, though, the terms of reference that you're reading from are actually the terms of reference that were agreed by the U.S. Steering Committee before the TMGC was formed and before the discussions were held on complementary management measures. So those were the terms of reference in coming up with an understanding. And And the term complementary management measures came out of this process because one of the initial agreements was that we wouldn't try to force each other's management system on the other country, that it was important that for us to reach some sort of understanding, that we agree to basic principles like an F rate, obviously the common databases, but that we would not get into a situation where we were trying to have Canada agree to imposing our management measures and vice versa, because as John pointed out, we're going to win some and we're going to lose some there, and it was determined that the more important thing was just to try to deal with the issue of making sure that collectively we didn't overfish the resource. So I think that some of these types of things are appropriate for discussion with the TMGC, but just a word of caution on how far we want to take it, because we're going to at the same time have the Canadians insisting that, you know, that we adopt some of their management programs that haven't been the type of thing that's been consistent with the management approach in the U.S.
Tom Hill.
Yeah, just quickly, I think it's absolutely appropriate if the Groundfish Committee wants to look at ways to use different mesh sizes in different areas to have mesh size was only a way of controlling mortality, delaying mortality, and doing a number of other things that we thought we would desirable. If the council decides that it in specific areas or circumstances that we should have a different mesh size for different fisheries, for different circumstances, and want to deal with the mortality consequences of that, and that's a policy call that we ought to be making, not that we ought to be telling the Canadians how, from my perspective, how they ought to behave. I think if we have a competitive issue, we ought to be evaluating it on its merits, not on based on what the Canadians ought to be doing. And I would encourage us, if that's an item to go on the list of things for the Groundfish Committee to do, it ought to be on the table for them to talk about.
Jim Odlin, then Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, just following up on Dave Gaethel's comments, that it's been about 3 years, 4 years, we started asking to have a analysis of the catch at age, catch at size of the Canadian fish compared to our fisheries. And we did get a report, and I think it was in the last council binder, that showed that indeed their catch of haddock was a little bit smaller than ours, but interestingly enough, their cod catch was the same as ours. So I think it's time to do what Tom said, is that we're not harvesting the haddock with the right mesh. And one of the concerns was always that, well, we would catch smaller cod, but now we know that they're not catching smaller cod with a smaller mesh because probably their bottom time is less, so it is appropriate to look at that. But the point is that it's been talked about a lot for Dave, who's hiding behind that post, and the TMGC has not let that just sit there and go along. It's been dealt with several times.
Yeah, I just want to stress. I mean, I don't want to tell the Canadians what to do. I'm not suggesting that in any way, shape, or manner. What I'm suggesting is that we have a common management area and we have a common fish. And if we could work towards a common management strategy, we might all be better off. I realize in any negotiation, you're going to win some and lose some. But I think that the way we're doing this right now, to me, we're competing against ourselves. We're trying to preserve fish haddock. That's what we're all talking about here, really, is the haddock. To grow big enough so that we have a wide range of year classes so that we'll have a long-term, wide-ranging spawning success. We have another management system that says, well, we'll only take so many, so it doesn't matter how many we take. But those fish are being sold back to compete in the United States, to some degree, with fish that we can't access because we're not using the proper technique to access them. So I think we're competing against ourselves, and I think we're shooting ourselves in the foot to a large degree here under the current system. And all I'm suggesting is that we ought to at least examine it first as within the United States context, amongst ourselves, and see if we might be better off not to come up with a common management strategy for Eastern Georgia's bank, both the Canadian and American part of it. That's all. I'm not saying that we'll go forward with it. I'm not saying that we'll come to agreement, but we ought to at least think about it. There's too many issues that have been raised in the last two council meetings about twine top sizes, mesh sizes, fish sizes, full retention, discards, all the things that we battle with every day, that we shouldn't at least consider things other than just setting quotas.
Jackie, did you have a comment on this issue? No? Okay. We're going to move on to other business. Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe Orlando, Gloucester Fisherman. I would just like to bring to the council the attention of the leasing program. When Amendment 13 was adopted, we adopted the leasing program, too. But when we adopted the leasing program, we put a cap on it. So now we find ourselves, like myself, I'm stuck in the 2-to-1 world as of November 22nd. So we're capped with the leasing program. We can only lease. I feel like we got whacked twice. First time with the days of sea, I'm going to be counted under 2-to-1. So now if I want to lease more days, I can't because of the cap issue. So I was wondering if there's any interest in the council. I don't even know if you can do it now, but maybe to ease up on the leasing cap or maybe get rid of it or whatever so we can lease more days and maybe try to stick it out through these hard times we're going to have. You know, so you know, let's see some talk about it, you know, because it's going to be a big factor for the guys that really might want to stay and guys are going to leave. It's really bad. I mean, what's going to happen? And at least maybe for the guys that might want to stay, there might be a way out. Otherwise, we're all going to